Well, we have a guest speaker that's very close to our hearts. Eric Bells used to be the youth pastor here at Riverview Church a number of years ago, left to become a lead pastor, then left that to start a ministry or be part of a global reach with the Evangelical Free Church of America in Africa, training pastors and lay leaders about church ministry. And these pastors would take what Eric was giving them back to their churches and grow their churches. And Eric has a heart for missions. This guy loves the Lord. He loves missions. His wife, Holly, and three children, 14, 13, and 10 years old. They just all are an amazing family. The more I get to know Eric, the more I love this guy. And so I'd like you to give a warm Riverview Church welcome to Eric Bells. God bless you, Eric. Come on up here, brother.
Friends, it is great to be here. Praise God. Seeing familiar faces and meeting new ones as well. God is good, and what a joy to be here with you this morning as we open God's Word together. Holly is here somewhere in the area, and she'll be at the end of the service, hopefully joining me, and you'll get a chance to see her as well. We look so much better when we're together, you know, and she improves our overall countenance there. We're going to be focused on Psalm 67. I invite you to open there in your Bibles, Psalm 67, which is really one of the clearest global mission songs. We've just been worshiping God here, but this is a psalm that's a song, a prayer to God, that is one of the clearest global mission psalms in all the Bible. While you're opening there, I want to share with you about a friend of mine. His name is Enoch Charles. I was actually with Enoch just a week ago in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania. And Enoch went through a life-transforming blessing from God a number of years ago. You see, he was being prepared to inherit the position of village witch doctor in his region, northwest Tanzania. His father before him, grandfather before him, had held this position of the village witch doctor, and it was now appointed for Enoch to be in that position. However, God had other plans for Enoch, and he began launching Enoch on this journey that started with a restlessness in his heart over his tribal animistic beliefs and that his ancestors had practiced for centuries. Well, as Enoch continued in this restlessness, he realized he needed to leave his father's home, his tribal beliefs, and a position of leadership in his village, and he began to pursue God, all the while not knowing that it was God who was really pursuing him, blessing him for a purpose. Well, when God finally captured Enoch, he launched Enoch on an insatiable quest to know the God of the Bible and to take him to all those that he knew. Well, soon, many others were drawn to Enoch, seeing a transformation that happened in Enoch's life, and he planted a church. That church grew up, and he began to oversee several other churches in his region in northwest Tanzania. And today, he takes the trainings, the Bible trainings that I give him every 4 months with another group from all over Tanzania. He takes those trainings out into the villages and all through his region. And he trains hundreds and hundreds of other pastors to study, obey, and teach God's word well. Amen? He is a great example of what we're going to be looking at in Psalm 67. Psalm 67 is it's a short psalm, a simple psalm, but it has a profound point, a truth for us today. It's a bold prayer for all the nations, all the peoples of the earth to praise God. What it really proposes is a global perspective, God's viewpoint, instead of being absorbed with my own world, a myopic, self-absorbed perspective on reality. It challenges us to look to the nations. Bless me, God, so that the nations will praise you. Blessing is not to stop with me, selfishly hoarded for my own purposes, but rather it's to flow through me to all the nations, to all the peoples of the earth. Well, this is the message from Psalm 67. I invite you to open in your Bibles there. If you've got a pew Bible, I'm going to read from the ESV because I think that's what you've got in front of you. It's on page 481, and you can follow along there with me. Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on the earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let the ends of the earth fear him. Our Father, this is our heart's desire. As we open your word, as we work our way through this passage, we want to hear your Spirit speak to us into our lives to be changed in the process, aligned with your heart, your passion for the nations. So may you be at the center of everything that happens in the service and this message. May you be lifted on high and glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The point of Psalm 67, as you probably heard over and over, is that God blesses us. And there's a purpose, a reason for him blessing us, so that all people will know him and praise him. The structure of the psalm is quite simple. It opens and closes in a similar way with a prayer for initially, and then closing with a statement of God's blessing. Included in that is the goal of that blessing. And then it crescendos in the middle of the psalm as the psalmist cries out a longing for all the nations to praise God. So I invite you to follow along on your bulletin insert. You can take that out. There's a few blanks to fill in there for you. And the psalm starts out verses 1 and 2. And we see we can pray for blessings so that all people will know God. All people will know God. He says in verse 1, God be gracious to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Now, the psalmist prays for grace, for blessing, but this third part, and cause his face to shine upon us, what is that talking about? We don't typically look at someone and say, may the face of God shine upon you as a greeting to them. Well, any Israelite that was originally the recipient of Psalm 67 would have been very, very familiar with this terminology. It takes us back to the book of Numbers, chapter 6, verses 24 to 26, where the high priest Aaron, the brother of Moses, was given this blessing to pronounce over the Israelites, causing the face of God to shine upon them. And what it communicates is you get this picture of the glowing face of God as he looks at you, and a smile spreads across his face, and you meet with his favor. He accepts you. And that's what the psalmist is praying for here. He's praying for God's grace, his blessing, his favor, God's favor to look upon us. Now, the grace of God is a great place for us to start our prayers, not just Psalm 67, but our prayers today. Why? Well, it's because none of us ultimately deserves to come into the presence of a holy God to communicate with him, do we? And so we need God's grace in our life, an undeserved second chance through Jesus Christ. Furthermore, none of us deserves God's blessing in our life. And so we pray for God's grace as we pray for his blessing, his favor. Then we pray for things like health and provision, for finances and abilities, for God's care and his direction for us and for our loved ones. The question, though, is why do we pray for these things? If you're anything like me, usually I'm praying for these sorts of things, kind of tied in with, because I want my life to go better. I want to be happy and comfortable, for things to go smoothly in my life. But the psalmist challenges us with a very different motive in praying for blessing. You can see this in verse 2. The first word there is that, or so that your way may be known on the earth, your salvation among all nations, in the New American Standard Bible. The psalmist communicates the purpose in praying for blessing. It's so that God's ways, his salvation, his saving power may be known globally. Now, in Hebrew poetry, as you're probably familiar in Psalms and Proverbs and different poetic writings, there are two lines that are very similar. And oftentimes they're saying same thing, or the second line clarifies or intensifies, emphasizes that which the first line has said. So in this case, we see that we're requesting blessing so that all people will know God, specifically so that God's salvation, his saving power, will come to all people. That's the desire of the psalmist. That's God's heartbeat. Salvation, my friends, was never exclusively for Israel. Salvation was for Israel. A relationship with God was for Israel as a means to salvation for all the nations, for all the peoples. God's offer in his kingdom has always been inclusive for all people. It's clear that it's the focus of the psalm. It's on large groups more than individuals. 11 times. You really can't miss it in this psalm. 11 times, over and over, the psalmist uses terms for large groups of people, the earth, or all the nations, all the peoples, all the ends of the earth. It's the major thrust here. And what we're talking about is not just geopolitical regions, but what we're talking about is what's mentioned in the book of Revelation, that God's desire, his love, is for people from every tongue, every tribe, every nation, people from every socio-ethno-linguistic group on earth. It's a clear challenge for the inclusion of all Gentile people groups into the kingdom of God. Now, this is the message of Psalm 67, but if you've spent any time in the scriptures, you know that this is not only in Psalm 67. Because Psalm 67 is one pillar in the great architecture of all of scripture, of God's heartbeat for the nations, starting in Genesis chapter 1, his creation of Adam and Eve as his image bearers to go out, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it to bring God's glory to all people, and on through the scriptures, Genesis 12, and on through Exodus and Joshua and beyond. In fact, in on the back of your insert, you see I put down just a few other of those pillars of this grand architecture of God's heartbeat for the nations. And there's so many others that could have been listed there. But on your own study, don't believe me just because I say it up here. But spend time going through these passages and see what God's heartbeat really is for all the nations, Genesis through to Revelation. Well, so we see that that we are to pray for blessings so that all the people will know God. But secondly, in verses 3 to 5, we long for God to be praised, for he is worthy. You can fill that in. He is worthy. You can't miss it here as the psalmist's intense longing and his passion just bubbles out from within him. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. It's clear that this is the passion of the psalmist. It's God's heartbeat. We need to ask ourselves, is it our heartbeat? is it our passion likewise? The psalmist cries out in verse 4, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. So the climax, the apex of the entire psalm is pointing to this point for all the peoples to sing for joy as they praise God. So why will they be glad and sing for joy? Well, the psalmist makes clear it's because of what God is doing and what he will do. It says in verse 4, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you will judge the peoples with uprightness and guide the nations on the earth. Even as God is judging, he is guiding the nations with wisdom, with righteousness, with benevolence. That's the idea of that word uprightness there. So we know that this is going to continue on into the future. And so there is gladness, there is singing by the peoples. This is praise for our present experience, what God is doing now, what we see him doing, and also faith in God's future activity. Now I want to take a brief parenthesis and just draw your attention to the fact, I'm sure you're aware, that there's a difference between thanksgiving and praise. Both are very important, but we thank God when we are focused on the gifts, the blessings that God is giving us. But we praise him when we move beyond those gifts to the giver of the gifts. We focus on his qualities, his attributes, who he is and what he is doing, and we worship and praise him. His ways are right, the psalm says. He is our Savior. He judges with uprightness. He perfectly guides the nations, and we praise him. My friends, I hope that your prayers are laced with thanksgiving as you reflect upon God's gifts, and praise as you focus on the giver of those gifts, as well as laying before him the requests of your heart. Well, finally, in the last couple verses, we see that we are blessed so that all people will fear God. You could fill that in. So that all people will fear God. We pray for blessings so that all people will know God. We long for God to be praised, for he is worthy. And then finally, we are blessed so that all people will fear God. And here we have a repetition in these verses of a similar concept from verses 1 and 2. There it was a prayer for blessing. Here it's a statement of God's blessing, particularly one aspect of his blessing. It says in the New American Standard Version, the earth has yielded its produce. God, our God, blesses us. God blesses us. God blesses us and all the people of the earth by causing the earth to yield its produce, to yield crops. Now, for many of us, we go to the grocery store and we're not so aware of God's hand in all of this. But for the Israelites, living in an agrarian society, they were acutely aware that when God blesses, the crops grow, and it means life for them and for the nation. This is one concrete example of how God blesses. And it leads us to consider many of our far greater blessings that we have in Jesus Christ. It says in James 1:17, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from where? From above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shifting shadow. It doesn't take long for us to just pause and reflect upon the fact of the blessings that we have. Not only the food before us, but the health that we enjoy, the homes that we have, the opportunity to live in this beautiful place, Southern California, the friendships that we share, but even how much greater it is, not only the life that God has given us, but the eternal life, which is a gift from God through Jesus Christ, not earned by you or me, but a gift from God, a blessing from God as we place our faith in Jesus Christ. It has transformed us and it has given us a message to share with the nations. And we praise God for these blessings. The result of these blessings is the same. Verse 2, you see it in verse 7. That God's way, his salvation, that the fear of God may spread globally. It says in verse 7, God blesses us that all the ends of the earth may fear him. God blessing us, for example, in the earth yielding its produce, is actually so that people, all the nations, will fear him. And fear here doesn't mean be terrified or be frightened by God, but it means to exalt God, to elevate him, to trust him, to place our faith in him, leading us to praise him, all nations to praise him. Now, this is the message of Psalm 67, but as I was thinking about it, and I invite you to kind of join with me on this journey, take a step back and think with me about how in the world can God blessing me possibly lead to all peoples, all nations, believing in him and praising him? Seems like a big leap for us ordinary people. And I want to encourage you that as I turn the pages of Scripture, it happens in at least two ways. One is that God can absolutely work independently to lead the nations to praise him based upon what he does. We see this in the nation of Israel. As you read through Exodus and Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, and God delivers the nation of Israel from Egypt, and what happens? The news of this spreads, and all these surrounding nations come to know, to hear about this God, and they fear this God. In Psalm 77, verse 14, it says, "You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your strength among the peoples." God can work independently. He can just cause his name to go out to the nations. But most times, friends, God chooses to use us to spread his praise. Most times, when God blesses us at the end of the day, we just can't keep quiet about it. We need to share with others about the blessings that we experience. It just naturally exudes from within us. I think about another example, another friend of mine, Grayson Badatu, who is another African pastor. And Grayson was blessed by God in an incredible way. But let me take a couple steps back to over 20 years ago. He was in a sports injury. They call football our soccer. And he seriously injured his hip. And for over 20 years, he lived with incredibly intense, debilitating joint deterioration and pain. He walked like this, just struggling. He couldn't sit down well, plagued through the night with this pain. And he lives in Gonga Loboto. He pastors a small church in Tanzania. There is no chance that he has for any sort of remedy. Well, through some connections that I had with him and a group from Arizona that heard about this and gathered around him, particularly one surgeon named Dr. Copper, an orthopedic surgeon, they gathered a group together and were able to bring Grayson to Arizona just recently, just a few months ago. And this orthopedic surgeon, Dr. Copper, performed a hip replacement on Grayson. And everything was donated. Dr. Copper's fees and the surgery center, the anesthesia, everything was given. And today, Grayson has a brand new hip and he is able to walk and preach and sleep and all the other sorts of things with no pain. I just saw him last week to the praise and glory of God. Now, the point is, God blessed Grayson for a purpose, because Grayson could not keep quiet about this. The people that were involved in this couldn't keep quiet about it, and they spread it to others. And then a newspaper heard about it, and they wrote up a big article about this and spread the news far and wide about what God had done in Grayson's life. And today, many people are praising God because the blessing that God brought into Grayson's life. Amen? Amen. Yeah, so we see this over and over. There are so many more examples that I could give you, but I want to turn your attention to a passage in Psalm 145. David is another who cannot keep quiet about this. And I'll just read a few quick verses for you from this psalm as we see his heartbeat likewise, not to keep quiet, but to pass on this message. He says in Psalm 145, starting with verse 4, "One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts." Friends, this is a great place for you to start as you experience God's blessing, his goodness in your life. Share it with your family. One generation commending to the next, parents to children, grandparents to your grandchildren. Pass on the news of how God has blessed you. The psalmist continues, "On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your mighty works I will meditate. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness." You get the idea that the psalmist can't keep quiet. David's like, we gotta let this out, people. He continues in verse 11, "They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom." And then he ends the psalm in this way, "My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever." Now, maybe as you think about it, you say, "Eric, come on now, I'm just one small person. What can I possibly do to affect global change?" Well, friends, I've got some awesome news for you and me. And that is that it's not up to us to affect large-scale global change. If we long for this, if our heart beats alongside of God's, and we're willing to do what we can to be used by him, then he is the one who will accomplish his purposes. He is the one who will do it, whether it's large scale or small scale. We see this over and over in Scripture. Just small, ordinary people like Mary, who is a young girl who is blessed by God, becomes the mother of Jesus and becomes a significant part of God's redemptive plan. Or in the Old Testament, you have Esther, who was put into a position where she ultimately ended up saving the nation of Israel. God worked through her in this way. Joseph is another one, and so many different examples. And in fact, it almost seems like it's God's plan to use ordinary, average people like you and me to affect his extraordinary purposes. Well, you know why that is. It is his plan. It's because he needs to be the focus, not you and me. He is the one who needs to receive glory and receive the praise. I want to share just a couple examples of some ordinary people that are doing awesome things, being used by God, the blessings of God flowing through them. You heard about the Loft Ministry, and the Mexico Outreach Team is another example. John and Linda Howard and the group that they are taking are a great example of ones that are faithfully taking God's glory and helping the people of Ensenada and beyond to praise God. It's been going on for 16 years, actually, since the first year that I youth pastored here. And just shortly after arriving here, John says, "Hey, let's head on down to Mexico." And things have been going on since that time. And they're great examples of God's faithfulness working through his people. Well, you could certainly think of other examples, the missionaries that stood up to their feet, but also people that are just you, that are sitting here, that are faithfully, Pastor Mel talked about, faithfully giving to the work of God globally. And God is using that, using your gifts, your abilities here in this context and to the ends of the earth. Perhaps, maybe some of you are familiar with our story, that God's had us on a bit of a journey, and how I was pastoring in the Central Valley, as Mel mentioned, and loving pastoring. It was great. Thoroughly enjoyed it. And yet God said, I've got another plan for you, Eric. And he moved our family all the way because of our passion to see the nations praise God. He moved us to the land of Tanzania, East Africa. And I began training pastors there, teaching them to know God, leading them into a relationship with Jesus Christ, good starting point. And from there, in how to preach and study and teach God's word well. Well, along the way, after we were there for about 3 years, he made it clear that he had another plan for us. And so he moved our family back to the States. Now we're living in Olympia, Washington. And I'm continuing to train pastors in Africa. Praise God, I could continue with the work that he's equipped me to do. But we take a step back and we realize that the place that we live is far less significant than being used by God, being available to be used by him, wherever that might be, to lead others to know him and praise him. Well, God is continuing to bless our family and healing them up and healing Holly from the sicknesses that she experienced coming back from Africa. And we continue to lead others to praise him. And I'm just so excited. God continues to give us opportunities. Just a couple months ago, I was in this remote church up in northern Rwanda. I mean, it was out there. I was driving for 2 hours on dirt roads to get out to this little place. I saw this cloud from coming up from this church as the people were just dancing away on the dirt floor, praising God. And I began walking them through what the Bible says in the book of Romans about not being conformed to the pattern of this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our mind and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And by the end of that service, we had 50 people, about half of that church, that stood up to their feet, adults and young people, that stood up to their feet and said, Eric, today, for the first day, we want to place our faith in Jesus Christ. All glory to God. Amen? Amen. God is doing awesome things here in this region and to the ends of the earth. I want to just remind you again of the clear desire of God that all people of the earth will praise him. And we want to join along with the psalmist and along with God in his heart that all the nations will praise God. And I need to ask you the question, what are you going to do, my friends? As Pastor Mel mentioned from Acts 1:8, in your Jerusalem, in this community, and your Judea and Samaria, the surrounding communities, and those maybe of a different ethnic background or whatever it might be, and ultimately to the ends of the earth, what are you going to do to lead others to praise God? Who is God bringing across your path so that they can join with you in lifting on high and singing of the joyful praises of God? I hope that your heartbeat is the same as that of the psalmist, is the same as that of the Lord. God blesses us. Bottom line, God blesses us so that all people will know him and will praise him. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let's join in prayer. God, we worship you. We praise you. You have done a life-transforming work in our lives, drawing us up out of our sin, out of a hopeless destiny, into a relationship with you. And God, we can't keep quiet about that. So I pray, Father, that you would, by your Spirit, empower each one of these, my brothers and sisters, to take a message of hope, a message of life, and be used with whatever you have blessed them to take that message to many, many other people. Father, may you be lifted on high. May you be exalted and glorified, for you are worthy. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.